like you to take your Bibles and turn them to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. Last week we started this discussion and we're looking at the story of Elijah being taken up to heaven. And Elisha, his servant, following him as he crossed Jordan before he was taken up. And last week we looked at in verses 2, 4, and 6, where it says, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. In verse 4 it says, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. And then as they came to Jordan, Elisha said to Elijah, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not lead you." And I said I wanted us to get three words out of this passage. Loyalty, faith, and persistence. Loyalty, faith, and persistence. And last week, we began looking at loyalty. And I talked about the fact that in this passage, we see Elisha's unwavering loyalty to two things. His God and to the heart of Elijah. And I said I wanted to take a look and peek and examine those things. And last week we looked at our loyalty to our God. As he took Elisha on this journey from Bethel to Jericho and then on to the Jordan. And I said, in our lives, we need to take the same journey. Come to God at Bethel, the house of God, the place that we are reminded that that's where Jacob, as he was going off to see his uncle Laban and running from his brother, that's the place that God said to him, "Go, and I will be with you when you go, and I will bring you back to this place." And God was faithful to Jacob and brought him back. And that was the place where he wrestled with God, and God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And then we looked at how God also led the children of Israel into Jericho, this place that was an example of the world, a place where God said, "Don't touch anything here because it's accursed." And then as the people marched around the city, the walls of the city fell down, and we learned that loyalty to God means that we will see him as he breaks down the walls of this world. And then we looked at crossing Jordan as an example of us on our way to our heavenly home. We looked at some verses about loyalty in our Christian living. Living unashamed. Taking up your cross daily and following God. And being loyal to your Savior. The next thing as we look at loyalty is how Elisha was loyal to the heart of Elijah. I'd like to look at loyalty in our personal relationships today. Loyalty is kind of an interesting card, an interesting thing. How many of you guys have way too many loyalty cards in your life? Anybody besides me that on my key ring I've got a loyalty card to this grocery store and that grocery store and seven different gas stations? And anybody feel like I've got way too many loyalty cards? And I went into the store yesterday and it was one that uses loyalty cards, and they said, "Do you have your loyalty card?" And I said, "I think so, but I think I lost it, or my wife has it probably." And there's so many loyalty cards. I think when you have all those, a wallet that's just way too fat, not because you have any money, but because you just have too many loyalty cards. That kind of cheapens that word loyalty, doesn't it? Just a little bit, right? When you've got a wallet overflowing with loyalty. And there's this idea of loyalty. What are you loyal to? I often use junior hires as an example, but because I see them all the time. But sports teams, like, I know my father was loyal to a sports team. He was like, Yankees and Giants, and those are the only teams that matter, And he said, Scott, you live in New York. You like New York. That's what my dad said. Okay. But seventh graders, one day they like this team, and then that team loses another team. And so like, oh, I like this team. And they change shirts like every other week of the team that they like. And the girls, they're loyal to a different boy every week or something like that. I don't know. Or actually, I don't know what they're loyal to. That's just the first thing that popped into my head. They're probably a lot more loyal to their sports and gymnastics and things that they do. But I just see the boys switch like at the turn of a dime. You know, whatever is the in thing that week is what they're loyal to. But what does loyalty really mean? What does it mean to be loyal? We talked last week about loyalty to a Savior. I want to be loyal to my Savior. And I think about his words. When he says things like the two commandments can be summed up in loving God and loving others as yourself. We need to consider loyalty in our Christian living and in our relationships, personal relationships with those around us. So I'd like us to look at Elisha's loyalty to the heart of Elijah. And I'd like us to put that into context of our own lives. The Church of Christ has a responsibility to live as a loyal family, loving each other sacrificially. Let's look up in our Bibles, John chapter 15. We read this morning, but I'd like us to visit it again and to read John chapter 15, verses 11 to 17. And to take a look at loyalty to our Christian brothers, having a sacrificial love. In John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." We just celebrated communion of the Lord's table. And we are supposed to remember Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. And you can't take a look at the Lord's table and the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross as he paid for our sins, died, laid down his life on our behalf, and then 3 days later rose again without taking into consideration the words of John chapter 15. Because this is right there the teachings of Jesus Christ as he was preparing to go die on the cross. And his last message for us and his command for us. He knew that there were going to be a lot of things that were going to desire to pull your loyalty away from Him. A lot of things that were going to be brought into this body that He was going to be that He was going to call the church, His followers, His disciples, that were going to try to tear them apart. And His strong commandments, He said, I'm going to give you an example of what sacrificial love looks like. And that sacrificial love that I'm going to give to you is the same kind of sacrificial love that you need to give to each other. And that's the kind of love that you need to have for me. That's a loyal love. When Jesus Christ says, as greater love as no one than this, than that a man lays down his life for you, he's saying, I am the example. I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'm going to give it all for you. Now you turn around. And for your love for me, love me with that kind of love. And then love your brothers and sisters in Christ with that kind of love. Have sacrificial love. Love that's willing to give it all. I used it as an example, and I was trying to think about how to talk about this week. I used an example 2 weeks in a row. I talked about my fish that was swimming around with all the babies in its mouth. Yeah, I know, right? And I talked about how we don't see God's plan all the time, but God's doing something even if we can't see it. And I was talking about how God had the 7,000 who had not bent the knee to Ahab's will. And I said, just like my fish is carrying her. And so I took that fish and I put it in like its own separate tank. And last week I didn't say anything about it. And afterwards, that's all anybody wanted to talk about. How you didn't say anything about the fish. And I, okay. All right. So I had to come up with something. So that fish, and we were shocked. It had 20 babies swimming around in that mouth. It's a little fish like this big. It had like 20 of those little. And I've got a video. So you come after church and I'll show it to you. But it spit out over 20 babies. And we got them all sitting in this little tank, except for three of them. Because I had to move Mom out of that little tank, back into the big tank. Or else she was going to do what? You guys know. So now I've got this little tank with like 16 or 17 little babies. And then there's like two or three in the big tank. And they're hiding like way under the rocks, trying to stay alive somehow. And they're doing pretty good. But, you know, I think that fits in here. Because you know what sometimes Christians are accused of doing? Destroying each other, right? Is that what Jesus said? How we ought to act to each other? No. We need to take a long look at this, of what it means to be loyal to your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's hard to have that sacrificial kind of love. It takes a real man or woman of God to have God's kind of sacrificial, loyal love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. As Elijah was heading home, Elijah kept saying to Elisha, stay here, stay behind. Elisha says, no, I'm not going to leave you. Even if everybody else leaves, I'm not leaving you. So you look around, you got brothers and sisters in Christ in this room, lots of them. And what can you do this week for them? To say, I love Christ. What can I do to show my love for you as my brother and sister in Christ? How can I be loyal to you? Sacrifice of myself to give to you. Sometimes it's hard because God made us all different. God made us all different. And sometimes it's hard to love another brother or sister in Christ. Sometimes people just naturally rub you the wrong way. But we need to have this sacrificial kind of love when it comes to our relationships with each other. And there's another type of love that we need to have, and that's an enduring love. And let's turn in our Bibles over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm pretty sure you guys know what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about, the love chapter. And many people who aren't even in the church know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And they understand this. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says, love, I added that word, but it's there previous. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then if we could go on to verse 8, love never fails. It is a healthy marriage when divorce is not an option. It is important that in our relationships, not only with our Christian brothers and sisters, but within our own family unit, that loyalty is important. And I have prayed a lot about this and talking about this, and I think that this is an important topic to talk about, to bring up and to talk about loyalty in marriage and staying committed and staying loyal. And I understand, and I know, and I've had lots of serious talks with people in this church about divorce. And I know that there's lots of people sitting here today who have been through divorce. And as I look at this passage of Scripture, and as I talk about being loyal to your spouse, I'm here to talk to you about today. I'm here to talk to you about the future. The past and divorce hurts. It brings pain. I'm sure that anyone in this room who has been through down that road says there was a lot of pain involved. And with sin, pain comes and it hurts. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to take care of and to save people from sin. And to nail it at the cross, as it says in Colossians, and to leave it there. And to not let that weigh us down for today. What we ought to be concerned about today, and what we need to take into consideration for today, is are we living for Christ today and in the future? Are we going to be loyal in our relationships that God has put us in now? Are you going to be loyal to where God has placed you today and love with the kind of Christ that God, kind of love that Christ has asked us to love with? We need to have the kind of love that endures all things, that is sacrificial. And these are the things that are important. We need to have an enduring love. A love that is Christ-centered. A love like Christ would love. And I would like to encourage everyone here, every married couple, everyone who's maybe thinking about marriage, people who've been married for 10 years, 20 years, 50, the Bermans aren't here, but 70 years, to think about loyalty and commitment in marriage, and to strive for that. There's a verse, and you might say, Pastor Scott, we're talking about Elijah and Elisha. Are you saying they're married? No, not at all. But I'm saying his loyalty as Elijah was heading to heaven. Elisha was loyal to the end to his master. And I'm not suggesting anything in that. But I'm saying that's an example of the kind of loyalty through the beginning of your life and your relationship with God. In the middle, as you see God working in this world and you overcoming victories with God on your side, you need to be a loyal, loving pair. And then loyal to the very end. It's not an easy thing. But there are other examples in the scripture of loyalty that we use when we talk about marriage and that kind of relationship that fit. And they aren't between a husband and wife. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. I've heard Ruth chapter 1 at probably 90% of the weddings that I've been to. And probably 97% of the weddings that I've performed, I've used this. I think all of them, actually. I can't think of one that I haven't. But in Ruth chapter 1, in verse 16, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Entreat me not to leave you, or to go back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me.'" That passage isn't between a commitment between a romantic couple, but between Ruth and the woman who was her mother-in-law, Naomi. And we use that at most weddings. And as we look in 2 Kings chapter 2, and we see this loyalty to the heart of Elijah, that's the same kind of loyalty that we ought to have in marriage, that we ought to have in Christian living, that kind of loyalty that we ought to have to our God from the beginning till the end. As we go to Bethel to meet with God and to find a relationship with Him until we go home to heaven to live with Him forever. And loyalty is very, very, very important. We need to have a sacrificial love, an enduring love, and a committed love. It throughout the scriptures, there is an emphasis on teamwork and relationships in the service of God. But so often, the ministry or the Christian life for many people becomes a very lonely place. I had a pastor friend who, at one point in his life, came up to talk to me a couple times a week. And he was very, very lonely in serving the Lord. And even though he was working with people and praying with people and talking to people, he often felt alone. And that's something that I really haven't had time to stop and think about. I just feel that there are constantly people encouraging me and talking to me, and I get so much of an opportunity to have friends and have great conversations and just am encouraged so often. But I have to think that there might be somebody in this room who knows that serving the Lord, and you're trying to serve the Lord and do your best with the Lord, is a lonely place. The Church of Christ needs to step up to the challenge and show sacrificial love, enduring love, and committed love. I'd encourage you to grab a hold of Christian brother or sister and ask them to become someone who will be loyal to you. There's so many examples of people throughout the scripture who end up in a lonely place in their relationship with the Lord. Think of Jonah, Hosea, and Ezekiel. I'm not saying all that time was bad for them. But Jesus Christ has given us an example of how we as a body need to love and be loyal to each other. I'd like to leave you with a warning this morning. It's kind of a rough place to leave you, but I think it's important that we look at a warning from 1 John chapter 2. A warning, it's something telling you, be loyal. Be loyal. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Now this we know, that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." We need to, as Christians, be loyal. So I encourage you today, in your relationships with God, in your relationships with your Christian brother or sister, in your relationship with your spouse, be loyal. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to be loyal. We live in a world where today maybe loyalty may be lacking. And we need to not tear each other down, but love as you have loved us. Show greater love to our brother, to our neighbor, to our sister, to our brother in Christ. Help us to live for you each day. I thank you and praise you for who you are and what you do. Help us to live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.